What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to Ball Year Round Podcast. We have our first reoccurring guest with us tonight, Anthony Fanuccio. Welcome back, man. Super excited to have you on. How you doing tonight, man?
Thanks, man. I'm good. I really appreciate it. Never thought I would be asked back in the first place.
But... Stop there.
No, I'm kidding. I knew you guys would have me back, and I appreciate it. It's going to be fun, man. Thanks for having me.
Folks were clamoring. Andy, what did Andy say last time? Our former friend or something like that? Yeah.
Some wild stuff, man. It was terrible.
I'm glad I got an extension on the friendship. So. Appreciate it. Parlayed that podcast appearance into more friendship. So.
Yeah, oh, man. No, like, always got to leave Mike to bring that one back up, but I always appreciate it. So, yeah, man, we got some interesting stuff here to talk about tonight. Everything from junior college to NBA. And, first want to talk a little bit about the junior college All-American Showcase here in Orlando this weekend. Pretty excited, to talk a little bit about it with all the teams coming into town. And I want to say, man, there's been over 90 teams committed to come over here and play. So it's pretty exciting. And we're going to have some of the top prep and junior college teams here in the country. And a lot of coaches in to see it, man. So it's going to be pretty exciting, Mike. And you guys, I don't know how much you guys follow on the junior college scene, but there's going to be so a lot of good talent out here. And man, a lot of people are going to be able to, poach some good talent that people kind of forget about sometimes with junior college, man.
Have you ever been to this Tavares, Florida, the big house, as they call it there, a little north of Orlando? Have you been in there yet?
I've been to the big house a few times for a few AAU events, and let's say it's always some entertainment, man, whether it's a parent fight or if it's some sort of altercation that happens at the big house. But there is something that's always happening over there, man. They have so many tournaments and events over there. So yeah, I've been over there a few times.
Yeah, it looks like there's 9 courts under one roof. That's my kind of place. $15 to get in the door.
Yeah.
So 9 games at once. Just do laps. So.
They got hot dogs in the corner.
They better have something. They better hot have a dogs great
in the corner of the gym.
Nice spread. I hope the coaches get at least a nice hospitality room. I hope that they have something nice for them. Because, $15 for us all to get in. We better be paying for somebody nice. Something nice. Unreal.
Yeah, it looks like there's like some high schools in this too, even kind of getting in the mix with the Elite Prep, IMGs there, Life Christian Academy. Like it's one of the Montverde teams.
So it's basically just a showcase, right?
Yeah, it's for coaches to come out and watch players, and guys can get recruited out of this and gain some offers and notoriety. So
yeah,
it's a great showcase. Scott Golden is one of the directors of it. And he runs it here in Orlando. He runs a bunch of different events, but he does a hell of a job. And it really helps guys, that are, working to, move on to that next level of, four-year schools to go on and do that, as well as playing against, getting all the best talent under one roof, man. Like, that's some of the hardest stuff to do in Florida. You know how Florida coaches don't always want to play against each other all the time, but this is a great event. And I'm excited. I hope to even get out to it.
Nice. Bring the kiddos over. That'd be awesome. Is Huggins coming through?
Hey man, you never know.
Huggins probably that's his
down there. Yeah,
I feel like that's his bread and butter. Like right. Guys who need a second chance,
always gets.
I'm sure there's some great athletes that are going to be.
Oh
there.
Heck yeah, man! There's going to be a lot of great players down there, and I know schools like Chipola, Northwest Florida, Tallahassee, in that Panhandle Conference are going to have a lot of great players. And a lot of guys coming back to also get that, that extra exposure that they need. So it's going to be interesting, man. And the Panhandle Conference has 3 out of the, 4 coaches in that are, former Division I coaches. So it's a pretty exciting conference, and it's going to have a lot of good basketball this year. So I hope people will, start to watch more junior college hoops, because it's a lot of good players, lots of good players. All levels, but mainly a lot of Division I guys out of that conference.
Cool. Yeah, I wish they had this on a live stream somewhere. It'd be like March Madness in October.
Yeah.
Games all day.
That is that would be the thing, man. I wish that we could get more like coverage on these type of events, because you know, these would be so fun to watch, especially when we have like we have this weird downtime. I know the WNBA is awesome, like they have their playoffs running and everything, but that's like honestly the only basketball that's happening right now that has any sort of worth. Like it would be great to watch some of these showcases, you know, that are guys playing for scholarships, and you know, it's actually something to watch, and that's really competitive, you know, to add to the WNBA playoffs. Cause I mean, heck, that's been super exciting for anybody but that's been following that, you know, the Chicago Sky and the Phoenix Mercury, and their game is actually tomorrow evening. So it's really exciting and I can't wait. And I hope everybody will start tuning into that. And, you know, kind of, you know, staying along and pushing too, cause there's also going to be, you know, some JUCO, jamborees for the women's side as well that are coming up for them. So I hope everybody's going to kind of, you know, make sure that they're following both sides of the ball, because the women's game is growing and we're really excited too with these WNBA finals and all the coverage that they're getting.
Yeah, that's definitely interesting with the you got the WNBA finals leading into the first week of the NBA season. I feel like they kind of schedule that well. Sky's got Deladon, right?
Yeah.
That they're
Candace Parker.
Candace Parker, that's right. No, Deladon got drafted by the Sky, but she plays in Washington now,
she
right?
She does now. Yeah. She just came back from
injury. Yeah.
But Candace
Parker. She's nasty.
Yeah, man. Candace is leading the Chicago Sky, and they also have a really good rookie, and they're gonna figure out something. I hope so, because they're definitely the underdogs with, you know, Sky Diggins and you know, Diana Taurasi, as well as Brittany Griner, the Mercury. So they're definitely the heavy favorites, but, you know, hopefully the Chicago Sky can pull it off with the young ones and, the veteran leader. So we'll see how it all plays out, but it starts tomorrow, man. So pretty excited for it.
Definitely. Yeah, it'll be on 9 o'clock on Thursday. That'll be 9 o'clock on a Wednesday. It's Tuesday as we record this, so it'll be last night. But NBA starts this week. We got, or I guess next week. This is our last pod before the NBA actually officially tips off. But what have you seen kind of with preseason so far? You're reading some tea leaves, some box scores, and trying to make sense of the nonsense that is NBA preseason.
Go for it, coach.
Yeah, no, man. I've been watching a few of these games, and you know, some of them have definitely stuck out. You know, obviously, being a Chicago Bulls fan, a few of our games have stuck out, but only for the fact that the players that we have just acquired with DeMar DeRozan, you know, and Lonzo Ball. You know, being able to kind of come in and fit in with Zach LaVine has been nice, you know, to kind of see that camaraderie as well. And they like to play with each other. But another one that has really stuck out has been the, you know, the Denver Nuggets and, you know, their rookie, Bones Highland. I think that signing him and making sure that he's going to be an inaugural piece of this team as they move forward is huge. And, you know, I think that a lot of the rookie success that's coming into play, you know, with him as well as a few others is, you know, the team that they're on, man, is like, if you're on a good team with a great culture, it seems like a lot of guys are having success. You know, Cam Thomas is another one that comes to mind with the Brooklyn Nets. You know, it's like, if you go to a good team, it's like, they kind of give them these guys confidence to play well. So I would say that that's a lot of the, you know, in the beginning, what I've seen, you know, coming out, because some of these games have been very lopsided. So it's been hard to tell whether or not these, you know, anybody's any good, but we do want to watch some of those individual performances. And I would say that the Bones Highland and Cam Thomas have definitely stuck out to me.
Can we say it's going to be Bones, Nugs and Harmony in Denver this year? Is that too early?
It's Harmony, man. I think they love him out there. Fan favorite for sure.
It's impressive. That's a freshman year creative writing elective Mike days for you right there.
There you go. That's Mike found the good weed today writing.
Exactly.
I think Bones has been nasty. He's played like 30 minutes a game his first few games with the Nuggets, which I read in the tea leaves. Maybe that's going to be the thing they do all year, him playing kind of that spark plug off the bench. But, Nuch, have you had any chances to watch some preseason so far the last couple weeks?
Yeah, man. So, obviously, I've been heavy into postseason baseball right now, all that stuff. But I have watched some Celtics highlights, at least. And I watched the first game. You know, Jalen came out firing. So, that was really nice to see.
He looked good.
Yeah. Grant Williams looks like he's about 40 pounds slimmer and much more athletic. And I think that's going to help him a great deal. We look much deeper than I anticipated. Obviously, I mean, they overhauled the roster, got rid of some of the younger guys. But, yeah, man, I was pretty excited, honestly, like from what I saw. I know it's preseason. You can't really put too much credence into it. But that's really the extent of what I've watched to this point. But I'm starting to get geared up because my squads are all getting eliminated and all that stuff. And the Pats suck. So it's almost basketball season, baby.
Yeah. Like I said, we're recording this Tuesday. There's going to be another Celtics Magic game on Wednesday night. So when this drops on Thursday, hopefully they didn't get their ass kicked by the Magic. They barely squeaked it out against a pretty shitty Magic squad, honestly, in the first preseason game. But how are you're not even a Red Sox fan, are you? I'm realizing.
Nope, I'm not.
That's right, you're a Yankees fan. I was going to say, how are our Red Sox doing? Because I have no idea, but.
Well, the Sox advanced to the ALCS, but I'm not a Sox guy. But we can stick to basketball if you want. I don't have to bore you guys. The Yanks got squashed in the wild card game. And the Rays rolled over in the ALDS, and the Sox have advanced. But yeah, so I mean it's exciting, but I'm ready for basketball to ramp up for sure. I got the itch, baby. There's a crisp in the air.
Crisp in Alabama.
Yeah, at like midnight.
yeah, right. As I've been getting the like propaganda of the Northeast of like the Red Sox updates, so I have no fucking idea what's going on.
You're in the South now, baby. You don't got to watch Nesson or
I don't know
what listen to 98.5 or any of that shit. So
we got Clemson flags and Gamecock flags everywhere around.
Yeah, it's the Tide and Auburn down here. So
nice.
That's all they care about because there's no pro teams.
Yeah, same in South Carolina. There's nothing in the state.
Yeah, football is king. So, but yeah, man, I'm jacked up. I'm gonna start paying attention a lot more. Because you're right, the season is next week, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like next Wednesday, I think, is the first game, and then next Thursday is like the first Celtics game. Yep. But Andy, your Bulls are looking pretty good so far. They blew out the Cavs and the Pistons the other game, something like that. And then played a close one with the Cavs recently. That new group kind of looks like it's fitting. Lonzo looks good.
Yeah, man, I love the new group. And you know, just the fact that guys are willing to, you know, accept each other's success, as well as, you know, it doesn't really necessarily matter when I've been watching the games, like who's bringing the ball up. It seems like they're able to get in the offense that they want to be in, you know, so it seems like it's all good in Chicago right now. But, you know, I'm interested to see what it's like when we play against, you know, some teams like the Celtics, the Nets, and guys that are going to definitely be in the, you know, the playoff race and hunt. It's like, man, like, what are we going to do if we hit a 3-game losing streak? What are these guys going to do? Because that's when, you know, the rainbows and all that stuff goes away and it's a little bit of a storm. So how are guys going to react? Are we going to do a Spencer Rattler and be upset about our team's success? Or are we going to be happy? Because I'm very interested to see, you know, with these new stars and how they grow up and how things roll. It's like, you know, when other people get the spotlight, we'll see. I mean, are these guys mature enough? I don't know. But it's one of those things where we'll see, like, hey, one guy doesn't have success, the city of Chicago is going to be talking. And another guy has success, they're going to want to talk about him more. And, you know, kind of push the other guy and be like, hey, is it his fault? So we'll see how they respond to it, man, and see how they can handle blame and how they can handle each other's success. Throughout the year is really going to be about this Bulls team and if they if they stay together for more than this, just this one year run. So we'll see how it goes.
Seems like it could be kind of an experimental year. The schedule doesn't start out too good. You got Pistons, Pelicans, Pistons, Raptors for the first 48 warmed up. And then you have like a bunch of playoff teams in a row with Knicks, Jazz, Celtics, Sixers, Nets, Mavs, Warriors, Clippers, Lakers, Blazers, Nuggets, and it just keeps going. Like, you guys have several playoff teams to start the year. First 10 games are, or after your first four, you got like 10 in a row, a good team. So that'll be interesting. But, you know, who's Spencer Rattler? I don't know who Spencer – I just Googled him. And he's coming up as a college quarterback. Can you fill me in on Spencer Rattler?
Yeah, that was – I just, you know, watched their game this past weekend here in the Red River Rivalry, right? It was that
It was that
they were getting crushed by Texas, you know, and they switched the quarterbacks, and Buddy came in and helped them win the game, came all the way back, and they had this weird cut to Spencer Rattler, you know, walking out of, you know, the celebration and not really enjoying it, you know, for his team. Now, maybe it could have been one of those, like, hey, we're watching him walk out, and then they clipped it together with, you know, the finishing celebration. It could have been one of those, but, you know, nonetheless, man, there's a lot of that in kids now, and they've never had the spotlight taken off them on the same team and care. Like, Spencer Rattler did play with Nico Mannion at his high school, but it was established that Nico was the best high school point guard in the country and that he was the best football quarterback in the country. So it didn't matter what he did on the court, and Nico outshined him because it didn't matter to him. That wasn't his stage. So now it's kind of like, we're going to see that with Zach is like, okay, hey, this is your team, but DeMar might be like Zach, or you might see DeMar be the stud. It might be Lonzo be the stud that night. And then it might be Zach, and they might all switch off. And is Zach going to be okay with that when they're losing? That's only my big thing is I've just seen him. He doesn't take losing well. So I just want to see what it's going to be like when we hit that skid, because every team hits that. What is going to happen with Zach, and how is he going to be able to continue to lead? And then, you know, where does Billy Donovan fall into that? So we'll kind of see. We'll see, man. That's my biggest thing for the Bulls, bro. Like, nobody wants to talk about that part because that was the biggest thing with Zach in Minnesota, if people forgot about that, because they lost a lot there and he was not happy. So
he's got a ton of experience losing.
Yeah. We were talking about that a few episodes ago, how I don't think he's had a season over 500. I think his best season was 41-41 his first year with the Bulls. But they've been bad ever since. But hopefully he's like matured. He's 26 now. Mm-hmm. Hopefully he can realize. And I feel like having DeMar, like DeMar is kind of like a vet of like the LA area / basketball, and hopefully he'll help guide them a little bit. Lonzo, I feel like, has improved a lot. Like Kevin O'Connor was saying on a podcast earlier this week that like Lonzo and Ingram fell off in New Orleans after they left LA, and I was like, I believe the complete opposite. I feel like they both got much better.
Yeah,
like Lonzo changed the jumper, but
yeah, I like Lonzo's game. I always have. I mean, mm-hmm. I feel like all those guys weren't getting as many opportunities in LA, but I mean,
yeah,
I don't know. They were much younger back then too. So, and I think Ingram is a fine player. Like, he's really good. I think he's gotten a ton more opportunities, and especially in those late game situations where they trust him over, you know, a guy like Zion in some circumstances to, you know, have that responsibility, and he comes up big in those moments a lot more times than not. I just think he's a great basketball player.
He's a stud. Speaking of Zion, do you guys see the report today? Like, so a couple weeks ago, they said he'll probably be ready for opening day, and then the report today is he's still not running yet as we're a week away from opening day.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. That's not great.
That's tough. I mean, a lot of people thought, you know, maybe his health would come into play in his career because of how violently athletic he is. And he carries a little extra weight on him, it seems like. Like one of the more unique athletes I think I've ever seen. I mean,
he's like Barkley 2.0, just a little heavier.
Yeah. And like, it seems like he's got like some alien hops to him, you know, like he's a freaky athletic guy. But yeah, I mean, that's not good. If what's his second year, third year, right?
Yeah, I think it's going to be his third year, but
yeah, still young professional, like trying to get better, and he can't stay on the court. I mean, that's tough.
Yeah. And I agree, man. Like, especially with how much he impacts the game when he is on the floor, to not have him early in this season is going to be very tough. Cause you know, in the West, everybody knows it. If you know, you kind of start behind the eight ball a little bit, it's almost impossible to catch up. So that was a playoff team. So it's kind of like, man, like what we were hoping they would be, you know, in the playoffs and kind of the team that, you know, that was going to be rising. So to not have him out there is, you know, definitely going to hurt the Pelicans. And, you know, I hope it's not for long. But the fact that he's not up and moving is, that's not encouraging, you know? So you always wonder, you don't want to, you know, just throw him back out there just to try to, you know, get a few wins early. You know, you want to let him take his time, and heck, it could be all-star break by that time. You never know, man. Like, so it's unfortunate though. Definitely. That's tough for him not to be out there, man. Cause especially we all thought he would be out there by now. I did, you know, at least watching the reports and, you know, following pretty close with that. So.
I'm just going to have to let B.I. cook for a while, I guess.
Yeah, I feel bad for Ingram this year. That roster out is kind of rough. It's like Devontae Graham, Satoransky, Valanciunas. Yeah, Garrett Temple is going to play 30 minutes a game. Like, dang. It's rough. It's rough.
Yeah.
They're going to be dumpster fire if Lonzo or Zion's not back. I what do you think about those David Griffin? Was it David Griffin? Yeah, David Griffin moving on. It was Bledsoe and Adams. He brought him in, and then he kicked him out like a year later. Like, I feel like they didn't improve at all. Like, I mean, Valanciunas, I guess, but I don't know if that's much of a difference with Adams.
Yeah, I think they're really trying to, you know, base it off their drafts, man. With moving guys right away, that's what I would feel, and that they were hoping that, you know, you have a Zion and a healthy Brandon Ingram, you know, in the lineup, and you can kind of make your moves without having to spend a ton of money and hopefully be able to utilize the draft. But yeah, it's questionable moving those guys, especially if you wanted to, you know, be a playoff team. You know, I feel not having, you know, especially moving your guys, moving the players that they thought were going to, you know, impact their team, you know, and not having Alonzo Ball, like people are going to feel that loss a lot more than they're going to realize.
Adding a Devontae Graham.
Yeah. Absolutely.
They still have those picks from the Davis trade.
Yeah.
When do those kick in? Or when have they used any of them yet? Because, like, I don't think they've gotten any better since Anthony Davis left the building, you know?
And maybe they saw Paolo Banchero tape and they're like, yup, we'll just tank again.
I mean, obviously you get a guy like Zion, but like, have they used any of those other picks that they got from the Lakers? Or
they got the draft rights to DeAndre Hunter, which I guess they must have moved because he's not on their team. Yeah. And then it says two first-round picks, the rights to a first-round pick swap and cash to the Pellies. But if they're just LA picks, like, they're not going to be good picks anyways.
So. Yeah, that's true.
So I don't know if it's like the Pelicans or the Lakers had some, like, random Memphis pick, but Memphis pick. I suppose. They have the Lakers pick in 2022. They don't even have their own in 2022. So they just have – wow, actually, holy fuck. They're going to suck dick this year, and they don't have their own pick. Oh, no.
That's rough. That's
so bad. They have their own in 2023. They have Lakers in 2023, Lakers in 2024, Milwaukee. They have all the best teams' picks. Like, I don't know what they're doing. Milwaukee's pick in 2024, like, I don't know.
Are we sure the Lakers will be the best team in 2 years? Or one of the best teams.
I don't even think they're going to be that good this year.
I don't either.
We got some preseason award picks, really? the biggest letdown team and surprise team. So they might be on that list for me in terms of letdown teams. But speaking of them, I guess THT, Talen Horton-Tucker, who like Lakers fans swear is second coming of like Michael Jordan or something. He's 20 years old. And he's probably their youngest, most effective player, but he's out with a wrist surgery. So he's out for at least the next 4 weeks. That means more Malik Monk and more Russell Westbrook, I guess.
Yikes.
They signed Sekou.
Did you just compare Horton-Tucker to Michael Jordan?
No, I'm saying the Lakers fans do. No.
Oh,
not me, no.
I was going to say.
No, they love him. They think
he's, I know. Future. Laker fans are crazy, man. They love everybody. They loved Caruso. No, Caruso's right. Good, actually. But, yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think the Lakers are going to be that good this year, honestly.
Yeah, but it's tough signing their youngest guys already getting hurt. I thought their oldest guys are going to be bailed out by him at some point.
Nah, LeBron's playing by all 82.
You think so? When's the last time that happened?
This year.
Okay.
Yeah, he's on a mission to prove everybody kind of wrong. I think Lakers are going to make a major splash back, whether Anthony Davis is healthy or not. LeBron is going to will this team to the championship, and it's going to be interesting. Well, no, Western Conference Finals, Paul George and them winning it. That's my call right now.
I don't know, man.
Clippers Lakers Finals, Western Conference Finals in their new stadium in LA.
Is the Clippers' new stadium open this year?
If it's not, then guess what? We're playing in the Staples. But if it's open,
yeah, no, I know they're making that thing.
They're going to be the higher seed. Like the Clippers are going to be the two, LA. I think it's going to be between a 3 and a 6 seed this year. 3 and a 6 between a 3 and a 6.
Yeah, it looks like 2024 is when the new stadium, the Intuit Stadium, will open.
Kawhi won't be playing in there. Hey, that's going to be a tough
season. Dude, I don't even know if Kawhi's going to play this year. He's coming off that that torn ACL. Like, the last thing I saw was him, like, maybe coming back for the playoffs, which is fucking bad.
The house that Ballmer built. Yeah, I mean, dude, Kawhi is like a freak of nature, though. He could, like, heal from an ACL in 6 weeks and – be back.
Don't push him back too early though.
Yeah.
He will not.
He'll sit out none of for that shit. A season and a half.
But Luke Kennard this year, a lot of Eric Bledsoe, Terrence Mann, Nick Batum. Looking at like a Hornets roster plus Paul George.
I like Mann.
Yeah, Mann's nice.
But all the other names.
Jackson,
everybody else is come on, man. The Clippers, that's what they're working with, man. Dang.
Yeah, you got Vika Zubac. I mean, Brandon Boston might be a good. He might.
Reggie Jackson looked good last year.
20 off the bench.
Yeah.
Reggie had some moments in the playoffs where I was like, "Wow, definitely. Like this guy gets buckets whenever he wants."
Yeah. So never mind.
I can't get Detroit. Get Reggie.
Clippers can't be a 2 seed. There's no way it's over with. They make the playoffs, Mike.
They can make the playoffs. Like you're saying, with like a big Paul George year, I could see that. They
Paul
got
George
like
good gonna have an MVP season, but
yeah, he's gonna literally have to have one.
He's gonna have to score 1,000 every night.
Yeah,
unreal.
Well, Harry Giles action.
Oh, resurrect his career.
That's pretty bad.
So, what are we doing? The surprises and letdowns and stuff like that.
Yeah, biggest letdowns, biggest surprises. And then all the awards at the end. But do you want to talk about the new Kyrie shit show?
Sure.
Gee whiz. I should have thought about that one.
Man, well, I think it was Mike. Marks?
Mike, what are you thinking about Kyrie with his, his inability to decide the right choice to play with his team right now and accept the fact that he signed a contract to play? What's the deal right now, man?
I feel like, I mean, do you think this was the right choice by Sean Marks to kind of like cut him essentially, but not really, like put him in purgatory?
I mean, if I were him, no. Because, yeah. Like, Kyrie is so weird, man. Like, I was reading a post, you know, from NBA's Yoda, you know, and he was talking a little bit about, hey, this, you know, Kyrie Irving, if he – this is going to be the last team he ever plays for. And, you know, now
– what if he just retires this week?
Yeah, they said, well, hey, if they make him kind of decide on this, and, you know, it puts him in a really tough position, I feel like. It makes him feel like they don't have his back. And Kyrie is like, you know, I'm telling you, man, I read the post like that. This really could be the real deal. Like, he might just stop playing basketball and just retreat into his activism, you know, and really begin to, you know, head into that. And that's what I feel like Kyrie is, you know, based on what he's been doing, you know, since like all like COVID and everything has been happening, you know, he's been an advocate, whether it, you know, and saying his feelings. So he's going to stick by it, man. So now,
do you think this was a Kevin Durant, James Harden consulted decision? Because that's the biggest thing for me. Like, I'm with you. Like, if I'm Sean Marks, I'm not pulling this trigger unless KD and James Harden are like, yo, just fuck it. Like, let's not risk. Because part of this quote was like, how it's like potentially detrimental to the whole team, like, you know, whatever potential outbreak or something, derailing a couple weeks. Like,
I think that was, I just think that's the pressure piece from him, so that it doesn't have to, he's got to pay the guy, you know. I don't think that it would come from his friends to pressure him unless they wanted to publicly come out and say it. I mean,
yeah, I got to think it's like an owner saying that or something, not trying, but putting the pressure on Sean Marks, not necessarily KD. It seems like he's defended him so far. Yeah.
We don't know how, like, KD or Harden feel about the vaccine. Yeah. At least I don't, you know, and I'm not sure if they vocalized one way or the other. But you got to think that to some degree, yeah, it's their teammate, it's their boy, like, it's their friend, but it is a huge distraction. Like, it maybe they don't want to have it as like a distraction, and maybe Marks wants, you know, to set an example for the rest of the team. Like, you know, no matter what the circumstance, nobody is above the team. Whether Kyrie, you know, whether you agree with what he's doing or not, I mean, I think that's kind of irrelevant. I just think it's an extremely unique scenario, and you know, I don't know if they could trade him or what the case may be, but you're right, Andy, he could retire at the drop of a hat. Like, he might just do his own thing. Like, I don't think he's a guy, you could say one thing or the other about him, but I don't think he's a guy who's gonna, you know, succumb to, you know, structure or, you know, being influenced to do something that he doesn't want to do, you know. So
you know, if the owner then is coming out and saying, like, well, you know, nobody can have that exception of being a part-time player. You know, that's definitely a stab right there for sure. You know, coming, you know, because your coach didn't say nothing. You know, Steve Nash hasn't come out and said, well, you know, this is like.
Nash actually was like, this is fine. Like, he was like, I've come to grips with it.
That's the deal. Like, Nash has not come and, you know, had the back end with the, oh, hey, you have to play. If you don't play, like, this is a detriment to the team. So that's what, you know, I think as a GM coming and saying that, that could make there be a rift. And with that rift, I mean, that drastically changes the Nets big three. And, you know, you're taking away 26 a night. So,
dude,
that's a tough call to make, you know, if you're a GM and, you know, it's a hard call to make on that one, you know, but
I think they're good enough. Oh, sorry, Mike. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, do you guys think they're good enough to win without them, to win the championship?
Oh, I think so. They're deep. Not really, but
I just don't think they have enough to deal
with
some of the big
guys. At least they got Patty Mills
and James. Yeah, they came this close to beating the eventual champs without Kyrie and, like, a hobbled Harden.
Yeah, Harden had a hamstring injury.
I mean, I don't know. I think still anytime you have Kevin Durant on your team and then you have a guy like James Harden, I mean, I don't know. Just having those two guys at this stage careers.
Yeah,
move Kyrie
now.
I just don't think, you know, based on, you
know, into a red state like Dallas.
I just don't think a team's going to take it, bro. I don't think anybody's going to give up anything with a guy that
– Porzingis for Kyrie. No.
Straight up.
Who doesn't have, like – can he even play, though? Like, you know, I mean, if it were me and maybe, hey, I'm the Magic, I'm like, listen – let me trade young cat, bro. He ain't sitting in Florida. You're not sitting down there.
True, yeah, yeah.
We'll fill the Amway to the brim every single night.
Every night. And so it's like, bro, like, I'm like, all I know is people would love to watch it, and we could trade away all those rookies that, honestly, the Mo Wagner deal, Mike.
Mo and Franz. Yeah.
Mo Wagner? What a
love. Yo, Franz is bad.
Yo, listen, listen to me now. Listen, I read a report the other day. Sorry to like shift the conversation, but they said his best quality is to move without the ball, and he does a great job moving without the ball in his hands.
His best quality is just shuffling around the court and not touching the basketball.
Come on, man. Are you serious, bro? I was like,
they didn't even say spot up shooter in that one either.
No spot up game at all. No, nothing about spotting up. They said moving without the ball. I said, is this Rip Hamilton? Are we shooting baseline 15 footers off of Ben Wallace screen? No. It's off of Mo Bamba screen. So that's gonna be a phantom screen. There's not gonna be a screen. Yeah.
And ghost setting the screen.
And Bones Highland is boogieing. You got dudes just killing it. And we have Franz Wagner.
And yeah, that pick didn't make any fucking sense when I
happened.
What the hell are you guys doing?
Horrible.
They got Suggs out of that draft. But yeah, one more thing on the Nets. I thought it was not a zero correlation kind of thing. That the Athletic show mentioned this, the Athletic NBA show, and I saw a few other people mentioning it, that like playoff scenario wise with the Nets, because Kyrie can't play home games, what if there's like five games left and like, you know, some teams are higher up in the East with them and then they decide to tank because they're like, no Kyrie in game seven, we'll give the Nets the one seed, like fuck it, like, well, no Kyrie for four games, like that would be and it seemed to correlate timing wise with Mark's pulling the trigger on that, and the ownership maybe got wind of that being definitely a strategy.
Yeah. Oh, man, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen. I feel like there'll be some sort of dramatic resolution to it because
– on Wall for Kyrie.
John Wall?
On Wall for Kyrie.
What about Ben Simmons?
Yeah, Benjamin.
No.
I feel like he'd be a great fit in Brooklyn. Play a little defense, just throw the ball around, Harden gets a rest.
He would be sick there, but he would be so upset. Like, I don't
know. Who? Ben?
Yeah, like, you got to throw it to KD. You're going to score like 10 points a game maximum.
Well, he'll never have to shoot again.
Score. I mean, yeah, I mean.
Let Harden and KD
score 18 a game.
Yeah, so, I mean,
everybody's like discounting him. Like, he's a sick player. I would love
him. Yeah. Well, maybe the Bulls will make a move for him.
You're out of here.
Well, they can't trade. Trade like anybody until what certain point into the season, right?
Yeah.
Any of their new guys?
Yeah, we like no chance to trade anybody, you know. But yeah, man, that's tough on them, man.
Yeah. No, I don't think you can move Kyrie because of all the, you know, it's a volatile situation. Like, he may just up and retire, refuse.
I think he's going to now. I really believe that it's going to happen.
Yeah. I mean,
be wild.
Do you guys think, like, I forget who said this last year when the Harden trade went down. Do you guys think they were so aggressive with the Harden thing because they knew potentially down the road Kyrie could become some sort of a distraction, or he may be an impediment to a championship, and they got Harden as an insurance policy?
I'd say great insurance policy. That's not bad. I mean, even just on like So, like, Kyrie hit one of his biggest problems in Boston was just, like, his knees and his availability as much as anything. Like, having that insurance and Durant with his, you know, who knew that he was going to come back fine off the Achilles, but he did. Definitely. I mean, it's definitely paying off. They didn't have to pay much to get him.
Right. And obviously, KD and Kyrie signed up to play together, right? Yeah. It wasn't known that Harden wanted out of Houston until after that whole first year of Brooklyn with no KD anyway. You know, it was after that. So Harden becomes available, and then they're like, hey, you know, maybe we just look at acquiring this guy just in case something goes sour with the other relationship or with the other guy, you know? So I saw that kicked around a little bit last year, and I always thought that was pretty funny or interesting because – you know, it was just like, it makes sense to me, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, having all three of them is pretty nice too.
Always.
Yeah, it looks good for the 45 minutes of play that we've seen it together. So
yeah,
right. Exactly.
I never would have, I guess if you were going to bet on anybody still being unvaccinated when like 98%, I heard quoted today, was the vaccination rate in the league right now. So that leaves like 10 guys unvaccinated out of 400 something. Like,
yeah.
Guessing that one of them would be Kyrie or any sort of all NBA guy, I wouldn't really bet on. But
Brad Beal?
Brad Beal makes no sense. I don't know where that came from. He hasn't
apparently, really shown those. Apparently it was his girl.
His girl's got him on some like conspiracy TikTok.
That's what I saw. That was one theory that I saw.
Solid stuff. I hope she's like in the medical field at least.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I think she's a stay-at-home mom, but I could be wrong.
Well, hey, I'm not here to judge, but I mean, you know, let's make sure we're doing the right stuff here, Brad. I mean, you know, come on now.
There's an article from earlier today that says Beal and possibly in parentheses Kyle Kuzma are not vaccinated still, which I thought Beal was vaccinated by now, but I guess not.
Well, maybe, I don't know. I'm pretty sure Josh Richardson isn't.
Josh Richardson. On the seas,
On the seas, yeah.
That's fine.
I saw a great, you know, kind of a great post that was about, you know, all this like, not sure of the research and the whole thing. But yet we're, you know, still down to talk about, you know, working as hard as we can and doing everything we can do for ourselves possible in the off season to make sure that we're healthy and to make sure that we're fine and to make sure that our bodies are good. And we don't do a bunch of research and we listen to our coaches, right? So why is this any different? I'm not sure. So I hope that I really hope guys can get a little bit smarter on this sense. And
well, we crazy. This also today, as of Tuesday, a second Celtic has tested positive for COVID, and it's Big Beautiful Eyes, Al Horford.
Wow. Man, this is the first time hearing.
Yeah,
this is tough. Yeah, they all went to dinner together the other night, I'm pretty sure, like right before Jalen tested positive. So COVID Celtics are back in all series.
Celtics are full force. They have cardiac Celtics the first two games. We're going to have Schroeder out, Josh Richardson out, Marcus out, Tatum out, Horford and Brown all out for Orlando on Wednesday night. So they probably will have a shit show when this drops on Thursday.
undefeated in the Ime Udoka era so far. That's on the line.
Yeah, I think also Peyton
Pritchard will take us home, though. We'll be fine.
Game winner city so far. Romeo, baby.
Yeah,
Romeo. Reaching Romeo stasis.
He's looking slender in that nine.
Yeah, that's definitely a good look. It's good to resurrect that one because they're probably not retiring for Rondo.
Which is a shame, but I don't think they would have. But I love Rondo. Top five favorite Celtic.
Played too long for the Lakers first to retire it.
Yeah. And he won a title with them. So, whatever.
More power to him.
Yeah.
Do you guys have a biggest letdown team? I know we kind of mentioned a couple earlier.
I think, do you want to – I mean, I had a thought for – for the East and the West, if that's all right.
Yeah, totally.
I think my letdown team, call me crazy, but I think Atlanta is a team that comes to mind. Okay. Because they made this great run last year. Trey obviously emerging as, you know, a star, potentially a superstar in this league. You know, they got a great team over there, and they made a great run. But I also think that they weren't exposed to some of the East's elite, and I think there can be a bit of a hangover from that, especially with a quick turnaround to a new season. And I just don't see them advancing as far as they did last year. I think there's a couple of teams that are a little hungrier this year. You know, Miami's kind of revamped. Celtics got a little roster overhaul. I think the Sixers are going to be out to, you know, prove that they should still be in the mix as the one seed last year. And then obviously you got teams like Brooklyn and Milwaukee, the defending champs. I just don't really see it right now. Call me crazy, but that's my pick in the East. And then I think it's kind of a different approach, but Golden State in the West, you know, they're getting Clay back. Steph, obviously, still phenomenal player. I just don't think it's going to be the same type of magic that we saw before the KD injury and even years and years prior to that. I just, you know, a lot of people are picking them as like a dark horse in the West to make a deep run, but I don't know if I believe that at this very moment.
Yeah, it's definitely
got to see it.
Like Clay, what yeah. Clay looks like. And, you know, they're like a weird fit team too. Like once Clay is back, like you got Wiggins there, you got Oubre, you got Wiseman's out too. I think that's going to be huge.
Right.
Wiseman will probably be out most of the year, I think, because he got hurt pretty late last year. Clay's not going to be back till the spring.
Really?
Yeah, they're saying like early 2021, 22, which I guess maybe somewhere in January, February at the earliest.
Man.
Wiseman had his surgery on April 15th. So, like, I don't know. You could probably guess at least another 4 to 6 months potentially. They're not going to rush him back.
What was his injury again?
I thought it was a torn ACL, but I'm seeing meniscuses all over the place on here.
What is that, like a 6 to 8 month?
Yeah, it's a little quicker, but like, I don't know.
They don't want to rush it. It
depends on what their situation is. They don't really have a ton of big men, I don't think, otherwise. But yeah, the Atlanta one I like too, just because they're not deep. I love them just because I love watching the Hawks and Trey, but
yeah,
they're not crazy deep. They got like great years out of Herder, and like, you know, they're gonna need DeAndre Hunter to take a step, Collins to still be nasty after getting paid, and their bench is like, you know, Jalen Johnson's got to be good, Luau Cabaret's got to be good, and Shreve Cooper. They're relying a lot on young dudes and like unproven dudes on the bench. So yeah, definitely see that with the Hawks. Andy, you got a East or Western?
The team that I saw that, you know, I'm not sure is going to make the same kind of push as they did last year. I think they're still a playoff team, but I'm not sure they're going to be as high as they were, is going to be the Dallas Mavericks. That's a team that, you know, they have a new coach with Jason Kidd coming in, kind of going to have to figure out their identity. They struggled defensively last year. So it'll kind of be like, where are they going to fit in that sense with their defense, and then, you know, kind of with their stars that they have out there. With, I did see, you know, with Luka Doncic, he did pass the ball to, you know, Porzingis a bit to have him in some, like, you know, big shots at the end of the buzzer in a couple preseason games, which I think is a huge step for them because, you know, sometimes he would like really, he presses the issue and will shoot like turnaround fadeaways over guys, you know, and make them. You know, got to give him credit for that. But at the same time, it's like, man, there's guys open, you know, and it's like, if you can include them in the game and, you know, keep them confident, it's like, you know, that's going to help them for the playoffs. So that I would say is the team that I would see as, you know, Porzingis wanting to maybe move on from, just because Luka is, you know, super dominant in that way. So I think that that's a team that they don't have the same amount of success that they had last year, even though, you know, Porzingis was hurt for that playoff run a little bit. But
yeah, Vegas has them as the seventh best chance to win the West, which if I'm the Blazers or the Grizzlies, I'm pissed at that because they're 8-9 there. I can see Porzingis – allegedly, kid's going to let Porzingis do more, so hopefully that'll fix his disgruntledness, but who knows.
Who knows, man? If you don't get the ball ever and all the action is initiated by your point guard who, you know, has the option to shoot it every time, it's – It's kind of difficult if you're not being thrown the ball in any of your strength areas. So we'll see if Kidd is able to back up his talk of, yeah, do something, but are you going to put him in the position to do something? And is the ball actually going to be in his hands to do something? Or is it going to be a situation where he has to wait for somebody to pass him a ball? And that's not really going to come a lot at the end of shot clock situations. So we'll see, man. But the Mavericks are my team to be the most surprising to not achieve anything this year.
Yeah, they got freaking Luka as the MVP candidate or the top MVP candidate at plus 400. I'd love to just bet anyone but Luka.
Yeah.
Because, like, I just don't see them win enough games for that to be, like, a thing.
They have to Unless win, like, he averages, games. Like, 33, 11, and 9 or His something.
Stats are gonna be
yeah, he had crazy yeah. numbers this past year and, like, I don't know. The MVP, I feel like it's slanted so far to, like, got to be a top four seed, kind of.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but you're right.
I can see Luka putting up fucking 40 and 12.
They do love Luka legend. They love the writers. Shout out to the real Luka legend, Andy's son.
Let's go, man.
Right,
he's out of his mind though. Yeah,
boxing legend.
He is a boxing legend. He will stay up until 1 a.m. too. So, yeah,
throwing haymakers.
Him, I guess. Unbelievable.
Nice. Dope. Yeah.
I got the Lakers and the Heat. Just because I think people have been talking a lot about, like, the Heat acquisitions. Like, the Lakers are just me being biased and thinking they're too old to piece together. And you're – I mean, Andy said earlier, like, LeBron playing 82 games. Like, I'm going to bet him not playing 82 games. I mean, and I just don't like the fit, like, really with them. But the Heat, like, everyone's talking about how they got so much better. They added Kyle Lowry. But, like, they also let Dragic go, who's always been, like, really huge key cog for them off the bench, at least in his older years. And then Precious Achiuwa is gone, which, like, I don't feel like anyone's mentioned that. Like, they, you know, they let Achiuwa walk. So, like, Achiuwa's – or he was part of that trade, rather. But, like, I don't know. Like, they're going to be relying a lot on, like, Tyler Hero to come out of his funk, you know, and Kyle Lowry to not be 35 years old, Jimmy Butler to still be on the uptrend, and Bam to be Bam, but I don't know. I see the East being, like, super competitive and then being potentially a 6 or 7 seed one, which I guess isn't that disappointing. But
that's a good one.
I like that one. That's not a bad pick. I definitely can see that, you know, especially with Dragic leaving and then, you know, Kyle Lowry coming in and kind of finding his role with them and, you know, their bench figuring out what they're going to do, you know, and then Tyler Hero needs to, you know, definitely come back and have a I would say a comeback season for himself, you know, just comparatively for his playoff run, obviously. You know, anybody that watches basketball realizes that anybody can kind of come on at a certain point in the year and, you know, coming back from that and, you know, keeping up with that is going to be definitely tough. So I'm looking forward to see what he does next year because he's a Midwest guy from Wisconsin. So I'm always looking forward to those guys, but yeah, he did a lot in the offseason, Mike Anthony. He did a lot of stuff.
Made a show.
He did a lot of stuff off the floor. So now it's time for him to, you know, get back to doing what, you know, what brought him all that success was what he did on the floor with that 17 points a game in the playoffs and things like that. So we'll see.
Yeah. They're still trying to catch that bull magic again. And they're, like you said, they're not really deep. Like, They got like Deadman off the bench, Strus, like G. Vincent, whoever the hell that is. Like, I don't know if this is just preseason roster and they're sitting people for this one, but like the box score I'm looking at, it's like after the starting five, which includes fucking Caleb Martin, it's like Tyler Hero and the Morris, one of the Morrises. Is that Marcus or Markeith? Markeith is on their team now. But after that, it's kind of trash.
Caleb Martin, huh?
Yeah, yeah. He started for them in their last preseason game against the Hornets. Wow. Which, I don't know. That's rough. P.J. Tucker is also going to be relied upon a lot, which, like, he was good in the finals run, but that also felt like a, you know, tip of the cap coronation on his career. Like, he's older now. He's going to be 36 this year. He just had that offseason of championship celebrations, per se.
Who knows? Already.
Yeah. Dogs. Yeah. Dogs. But you guys, we got some other preseason award guest stuff. Where you guys want to start? MVP, MIP, Roy, Depoy?
MVP, maybe we or do you guys want to start with the lowest award and work our way back up?
Yeah. What do you perceive to be the lowest award?
I would say we could rock with like most rookie. Improved.
Yeah, most okay. improved or rookie.
Okay. Yeah, I'm with it.
Mm-hmm. Who you got?
So who most got for, yeah, most so. Improved? No, you're good. Let's see. I don't know. The sexy pick is Shea, but I don't know. I feel like everybody's going to say Shea. I'll go with Lonzo Ball. I think a new change of scenery there in Andy's neck of the woods. I just think it's going to be good for him. And I kind of like that team on paper, like how like athletic they are. And, you know, they got vets and stuff. And I think Lonzo's got a lot of good basketball ahead of him. So, yeah, I got Lonzo.
I see that. See him do more than 5 assists like he did last year. Mm. He's nice defensively, too. I think he'll be an anchor on the perimeter defense.
Mm-hmm.
Andy, do you like Lonzo?
I love Lonzo.
MIP candidate?
I think that's a great pick. You know, a guy that's going to come in too, also shooting the ball and being relied on to shoot the ball in Chicago, you know, with being kicked out. When I was just watching these last games, you know, the guy, he was being kicked out too and, you know, looking off that corner extra pass and, you know, knocking down the three. So he's a reliable three-point shooter now, so now it's really going to be about him, you know, coming out and performing. And I think that's a great pick. A pick that I'm going to go with is another one in the Eastern Conference. You know, I'm sad to say that I'm not going to go with somebody on the Bulls, but and have it be one of the closer rivals from our 90s battles will be the New York Knicks, R.J. Barrett. You know, I think R.J. Barrett's going to be an all-star this year. He's really going to, you know, lead that Knicks team, you know, back to where they want to be and even higher, you know, because he's so good with the ball in his hands, and he's also a solid knockdown shooter. So, you know, I think that he's going to be a guy that is going to propel himself to be one of the top, you know, players in the league. He's going to be an all-star this year, like I said, I mentioned, and that's also why I think he's going to earn most improved, not based on, okay, hey, you know, his stats are going to be much different than they were last year, but the team is going to win on a higher level, and they may actually make a playoff push with the right matchup. So I think R.J. Barrett, man, that's my pick.
I could see him getting up to 20. He was at 17 and a half last year.
I think he's a 20-point game scorer.
Yeah. He'll definitely, like, especially if, like, you know, like a Kemba, you know, if he has his knee troubles again, like he's a good, you know, a good bet to slide in there and just take over his jumpers. And Fournier is never going to be like a force it a zillion times guy. Like he's going to be a steady like 15 or ish with Julius and stuff. You know, did you see, have you ever seen that Lonzo's
Lonzo named his daughter Zoe, so they're both Zoe.
I did not know that.
Yeah, I was bopping around on his page. Fun fact.
It's like a junior.
Yeah, exactly. It's like I named a kid Michaela or something.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good one.
Antoinette, what would be
if you were born in the 1920s, yes.
Some let them eat cake or something, but.
Yeah. Andy's could be Andy, I suppose.
Poor kid, man. Poor kid.
Traded.
Extra. Oh man. Mike, who do you got the worst to prove, man?
I'm going very homer here and very reactionary to the tea leaves of the preseason and summer league and just generally being healthy. Romeo. I think Romeo Slangford. Romeo Longford is gonna row us a fourth seed or better.
You should try to bet on that, because if that's even offered on a sports book, you'd make $1 billion, I think.
Yeah,
no disrespect to Romeo, but
yeah, no, he's not on people's radar.
Threw down 100
for some reason Jaylen Brown's in the top 10, which, like, people don't realize, like, Jaylen Brown already had his MIP year last year. He's not gonna, like, he scored like 24 a game last year. What is he gonna average, 30? Like, maybe
he could.
Maybe, yeah, if him and Tatum are both averaging 30, we'll blow.
I have nothing but the utmost faith in Jaylen Brown getting better all the time. Like, he's done it since Kyrie left, which was his second year, right?
Yeah, he's kind of got, like, remember Paul George and, like, Danny Granger?
He's got a similar
trajectory of, like,
right,
8 to 10 points, 14 points, and 20 points almost, and 25.
Yeah. Like, then all of a sudden, he's, like, trajectory. The best two-way guy in the league. Like,
yeah.
One of the best wings in the league.
6 points a game, 14.5, 13, 20, and 25. So that's a good trajectory. Him and Tatum are similar. With that, which we'll like to see. But I don't see Romeo so far. I just went by Robert Williams, who's plus 9,500 on FanDuel, which actually I don't think is a bad pick either. Like,
if he can stay healthy, on the floor,
he's gonna play a lot.
Yeah. He's got to stick to what he was doing last year, though, I think, on the offensive end. You see, in the first preseason game, he took a bunch of, like, 15-footers and missed all of them.
Dude, that actually – I'm glad you mentioned that, because there was one thing I was noticing that, and one thing that I love about Robert Williams is he's – in the past has had, like, really good form for a guy that bouncy. Like, a lot of times you deal with, like, guys that are that bouncy, not controlling their jump on their jumper and stuff.
Right.
But he was leaning a lot, it felt like, on his jumpers, mm-hmm. which I hadn't seen from him before. Like, that's a new
– He made it – seemed like he was, you know, kind of forcing the issue a little bit, like, oh, you know, I have this open shot, I gotta knock it down type of scenario. Mm-hmm. I mean, when he's getting putbacks and lobs and, like, stuff under the rim, what do you shoot, like 72% last year? Like, that's what we need him to be, honestly. Like, that's what we need him for this team.
Yeah, developing that elbow jumper would just be like icing on the cake that we don't necessarily need this second, but eventually in his career would be nice.
I don't see
Romeo Langford on this list at all. I just made it to the bottom. We got the fucking Taco Falls on here.
No way.
Kevin Knox is on. Kemba Walker, for some reason, has odds for most improved. Like, I guess that's, like, comeback player of the year.
Yeah.
Slash most improved.
Yeah.
Desmond Bane.
They should do a comeback award in the NBA.
Sure. Yeah, just to differentiate it. Because, like,
just
like
to Clay show Thompson a little respect. Most
improved, but, yeah. Like, what the fuck does that mean? Like, he just didn't play last year.
I mean, he's been on his couch for 2 years. Like, what can he do?
Yeah.
But, I mean, Romeo's a wild pick, but I hope that's the case.
Completely a homer pick. And, I mean, he's looked really good so far this year. Or, I mean, in the two preseason games. He'll definitely get some tick on Wednesday night. So, hopefully, by the time this is airing, he dropped 30. And he's on this board now for me to throw $5 on.
He's got to do it this year, because if he doesn't stay on the floor this year, like, he won't.
I don't think
he'll be in Boston anymore.
If I think he can't his contract's stay on the floor, up after this.
Yeah. So, but I'm rooting for him, man. I'm excited.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm looking at this contract and I can't find it because I clicked on some fucking spam.
Oh, you can hit the bathroom.
Oh.
You want that sporttrack.com. That's what you want.
Are you really jerking off alone? That's what you clicked on.
Right. Hot singles in your area.
Yep.
One of those. Yeah, he's got a what the fuck's the red mean? I guess a club extension or a club option. He has a club option for next year for $5 million, which I would think they would exercise.
Yeah, unless they're trying to do something. I mean, Trader Brad has taken a different approach. So, you know, maybe he'll zag when everyone else would zig, but who knows?
Yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't.
I do like what he's done so far, but.
Yeah, he's just been unhealthy. It is what it is. That's also another, like, most improved, but really just the first time his career is going to be healthy and he's going to be, like, acclimated to the league a little bit. He just moves like the game's moving slow to him kind of thing around there.
Yeah, definitely.
But what would be next most insignificant, rookie of the year or defensive player of the year?
I would say probably rookie of the year, but that's just my opinion. So I think defensive player of the year is in the grand scheme of the year of the NBA. I think it's pretty important.
Yeah. Runner up for MVP essentially.
Right.
Who do you got for rookies?
Rookies?
Yeah.
I mean, I really like Jalen Green. I like both the Jalens. I like Suggs down in Orlando as well, but I think Jalen Green is just kind of going to do his thing down there in Houston and just kind of run amok. I think, you know, they'll give him a lot of opportunities. Probably be similar to a, you know, type of season that John Morant had a couple years ago, you know, but
yeah, definitely.
So that's my pick. And yeah, I mean, there's tons of good players, like, you know, Cade is probably the safest pick, but I like Jalen Green for rookie of the year.
Yeah, I could see Jalen just having more. Not that Cade's not going to have the ball in his hand as much, but there's more guys that shoot it on the Pistons. Like Grant's going to get shots up, Stewart's going to get shots up, or Sadiq Bey is going to get shots up. But yeah, I like Jalen Green and Suggs too. I was looking at. I mean, my dark horse would be definitely Bones Highland. Just because I feel like he's actually going to get tick on, like, a good team. I'm like, which is stupid because, like, the Rookie of the Year award's always just, like, good stats on a shitty team because it's just a numbers game at the end of the day. Like, whoever scores 17 a game as a rookie gets it.
Right.
but, I mean, Evan Mobley, I could see just being, like, a double-double machine and sneaking in there somehow.
Yeah, Mobley's – he's good.
Giddy on the Thunder.
Giddy
down under on the Thunder.
Listen, man, I don't mind that. Like, don't mind that pick at all. I actually, you know, because I've been, you know, trying to pick kind of a dark horse just because of, you know, I think that Jalen Green is, like, obviously, you know, watch it and the statistics are going to be there, and how he plays is definitely he's gunning for to score the ball. Like 22 yeah. dribbles, I think, in a possession I was watching. Like, Jesus. The dude is trying to score the ball, dude. So that, I believe, could be there. But I think Josh Giddey, man, as we're talking about it, like, and I watched him play, I think he is the most NBA-ready player out there as far as the rookies go and what he's doing and how he's impacting the game and also just how easy it looks. Like, it's and it's also, like, within the flow of a game for being a, you know, I would say a veteran, man. It's not, you know, he doesn't need a bunch of dribbles. He doesn't, you know, it's very basic and straight to the point, and he's able to score or make the right read. So I think Giddey is going to be one that's up there, and I think he could win it just because I think the Thunder, you know, as far as being a lottery team, will have the most success, you know, this season for being a lottery team. So I think Giddey is this year's rookie of the year.
I'd love that. I mean, he's one of those guys that he's just turned 19, like on the 10th of October. he's one of those guys, I feel like you're saying, like, has that feel. Like, we've been lucky with a few tall, good dudes coming in. Like, he's got that kind of, like, he's not on the level of a LaMelo Ball even, or a Luka for sure, but, like, that just natural feel. But, like you're saying, like, efficiency with the dribbles and what he's doing, and just, like, wise beyond his age in terms of basketball wiseness. He's huge. He's fucking enormous. Like, he's going to be a lock for, like, 6 rebounds and 7 assists, I feel like. So if he can score 10 points and average almost a triple-double as a rookie, it would be something, which that team he could. He's going to get plenty of tick. Yeah, he's got a couple scorers around him.
Yeah. For sure. 6'8", huh?
Yeah, he's a big boy. And he's not like a 6'8" with shoes. He's really 6'6". He's tall as hell. He looks big out there.
Melbourne. Sorry, my wife's watching the Braves. They won.
Oh, nice. Let's go.
Yeah.
Atlanta's got to get something. Don't tell her I said that.
even though they dominated in the 90s when I was watching. So I don't really think they're Jones. Much of anything. But
Chipper.
Yeah, there. Chipper and Andrew cooking with Greg Fat Lipson.
Excuse me.
So we got
Who do you pick, Mike?
Oh, for rookie of the year?
Yeah.
I thought I already picked. Didn't I?
Who'd you take?
Oh, I didn't take anybody specific, I guess. I named a bunch of people. I'll take, just to stay different, Andy will get G'day, Josh G'day, and you got Green. I kind of want to go Mobley. Just because from what I've seen from him, like, it's like a big man version of Jalen Green. Like, he's going to have the opportunity. He does not shy away from just saying, fuck it, let me do it. Let me just go take it myself. But I guess there's a couple of ball handler jackers that are going to be taking all of those shots. I said Suggs. I'm going Suggs. I'm confident in him, like Andy's saying, being NBA ready. Like, he hasn't looked amazing so far, but he's going to figure it out. I don't know if the Magic are going to suck too much for it to matter, but I like Suggs.
He's a great, great ball player, man.
Yeah, and he might just say fuck it at some point and just start jacking threes, like, didn't doing his he best hit, Steph Curry impression.
Didn't he hit the buzzer beater for Gonzaga last year?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He kind of – that's where I kind of think that, like, he kind of said fuck it at points with Gonzaga and just was like, I'm going to shoot now.
Yeah, man. Out. He's got a lot of moxie in his game. Like, I watched him play against the Celts the other night, and, you know, he was battling. He blocked Tatum, like, pretty convincingly. Like, he just competes. Like, he seems like a nice player.
Yeah, definitely competes and has a little bit of grittiness to him on both ends, and that point guard IQ. It's just whether, like, how valuable is point guard IQ when everyone around you has no IQ and sucks. Like, if you know the ball is going that direction and they don't know it's coming, it don't matter.
Mo Bamba, most improved.
Maybe. Oh, they said he could be a guy that is in that category. So
he's still like 7'5", right? Like, he's
also still like 17.
Yeah,
still super young. I think he honestly should be about 20. Like, right? Shouldn't he be about like 20, 21 maximum?
He's 23, I guess. I was thinking he was 23. Way younger. Yeah, I was thinking he came in the league at like 17. I guess he's been in the league since 2018 already. So, I thought he came in the league as like a young 18 or something, but no, he was 20. Dude,
he's 7 feet. And has a 7'10" wingspan. That's absolutely absurd. That's almost a foot longer than what it's supposed to be, technically.
As long as he can make a shot, I think he'll have a shot. But if he can't hit a 15 to 17 footer, I mean, it's gonna be a long, like, it's over with. I mean, because it's just like, man. He's gotta be able to hit a little jumper.
Yeah, Sheck West made that song a little early.
Sicko Mode or Mo Bamba?
Mo Bamba, yeah.
Dope song.
Yeah, it's good shit. But I mean, maybe he's a defensive player of the year candidate someday.
Mo?
Segway. Yeah. I mean, he does as much as Rudy Gobert on the offensive end.
Yeah.
No way.
Andy, how far are you from the Magic Arena? From Amway.
20 minutes, 25. Mm. I wanted to buy season tickets, but
just gonna say it's probably like $20 a day, $20 a game.
Nah, there'll be a little bit more.
Amway is fun. I used to go a good amount.
But it's small. And they got that like.
I like the standing room. The what was it? The it was like the lounge up there.
Yeah. Heck yeah, that lounge is tough.
Yeah, you get a great view of the court, and like you don't have to wait for food or drinks at all, and like everybody's, you know, cool doing the same thing, watching the game, hanging out.
Facts.
I enjoy the Amway.
I love the Amway, and it's real close to everything too. You get out right on Church Street, and you know you take that, you know, half a block, 2 block walk, and bam, you're there. And
wet your beak.
Exactly. Enjoy.
Yeah, there's a good little bar there. You can. What was that right place?
Graffiti Junction.
Yeah.
Junction's right there, man.
It's also like the only.
Spent place a lot of money.
Spent too much money at Graffiti.
At the Graffiti Junction. Good times.
What's wrong with that? I've been in a few NBA arenas, not that many, but I've never seen one with a car advertisement that's literally just the car with its own section carved out of the arena. They still have that, Andy? The Kia on display there, like in the arena?
Oh, yeah, always.
That's wild.
At least when I was last there, yes.
They got to be paying a lot of money to take a whole chunk of section of, we're just going to put a car here for the year instead of seats.
I would take it.
Pound for pound. Their mascot, Stuff, best mascot.
Oh,
NBA. Dude.
Is it Stuff? Stuff or is it Puff?
Stuff.
I thought it was Puff.
No, Stuff. It's like Stuff, like like stuffing a shot. I saw him do a back layout off of a 20-foot A-frame ladder one time into like some padding and stuff, but it was insane. I was like, this guy's in a costume doing a back handspring base or a back tuck basically off of a ladder 20 feet in the air. I was like, wow, that's awesome. Yeah,
easily top 10, top 5 mascot. I totally didn't realize it was Stuff. I always thought he was Puff. We should do a mascot draft sometime. Benny the Bull's up there too. I'm not taking the leprechaun.
Benny the Bull, hey?
I mean, in terms of arena mascots, I feel like he's
What's the trashiest mascot?
The fucking the Suns.
Nah, it's
Suns. Oh no, the Suns got the gorilla. I'm thinking of the Heat. What's the one? It's just like honestly, just looks like a dildo.
Oh my god, what?
That's funny.
I feel like Bernie the Heat mascot just looks like a Muppet.
All right, what have we done so far?
I want to look at more mascots now that we're on.
I have human beings to put to sleep here at some point.
All right. Let's do a defensive player of the year. Did we do defensive player of the year yet? No.
Not yet.
And we'll do MVP last.
All
right. The Spurs Coyote.
Man.
The Wizards got some fucking Muppet-looking thing, too. I think the amount of Muppets that are mascots in the league is pretty great. All right, sorry. Andy, who you got for defensive player of the year?
Telling you, Paul George. I think he's going to have to be the guy that has to he's going to have to do it on both ends this year, but I think if Kawhi is able to come back and play at the, you know, towards the later half of their regular season, I think he's going to be the guy that's going to be the dude that they come to make defensive stops. And Paul George is the guy for defensive player of the year this year for stopping wings and all the tough players in the Western Conference.
Yeah, they're good. I mean, he's definitely going to be. Yeah, I can see that being like a consolation, like we say, like, sometimes the defensive player of the year is just the you know, the guy who didn't win MVP, who's also good at defense. So, like a Giannis situation.
Well, you took my pick there. Giannis is definitely my pick.
Nice.
He just does stuff night in and night out. Like, you saw it in the finals. Like,
yeah,
you know, both ends of the floor, the guy's an absolute animal. Like, I don't know. It's kind of crazy watching him. I just think he's so good on both ends, you know. It's I think it's an easy pick, honestly, but, you know, Gobert wins it every other year anyway, so.
Yeah, I feel like there could be, like, voter fatigue with Gobert this year, and he could do the same exact thing he's been doing to win it the last few years and not get it just because they keep giving it to him.
Yeah.
And then Giannis, I like for defensive player of the year, especially if he doesn't win MVP. I mean, he could honestly win both. I love how Vegas has Ben Simmons as the number two defensive player of the year odds, which is just like hilarious. Cause
no way.
Is he gonna play? I mean, I guess he reported to camp now, without telling anybody, but that would be such a good ironic ending to the year. He gets defensive player of the year. The Sixers are actually good and fine. Ben Simmons drops a show, a reality show with the Kardashians about this whole season.
Count me out.
Right.
Count me out.
Benham and Jenna.
Jeez. I don't know, dude. I love Ben Simmons, though, so I'm glad to see him come back. I think he's one of the better players in the league, so I'm not mad he's back. I love he's back. I think for the Sixers, it's great for them. I think he plays as a Sixer this year because there's nothing to trade for and nobody wants to, A, go to Sacramento. And I don't think that the Sixers are dumb enough to take those young rookies who are, well, if I have to be honest, Mike, if one of us three were on that team, one of us would have to have success. So that's really, it's a numbers game, I think, with the Kings.
Yeah, and that doesn't fit timeline-wise either with Embiid. Like, they got to kind of win now or, you know, they can't get a bag of balls for Simmons. They need to either keep Simmons and make it fucking work or get something in return, because if they, you know, cash out on this season, like, Embiid's not getting any younger and he's a big boy with a bunch of injuries in his career and has been healthy in the last couple of years, so they got to take advantage of it. I can see Embiid being defensive player of the year if Ben Simmons doesn't come back and the Sixers are actually good. But he'll actually probably win MVP if that's the case.
Yeah.
I don't know. They're, like, other than Rudy Gobert, it's such a, like, hodgepodge. Like, after Simmons and Gobert, it's Davis, Turner, Giannis, Joel, and Bam Adebayo.
I don't know why they have centers. I don't understand what
it's such a big man reward now. Yeah, and the next guy is Drew Holiday, which, like, I wouldn't vote for a guard just because –
He's one of the best defenders in the league. I would say
I agree.
Unreal.
Yeah.
Like, I would be like,
yeah,
Drew is a great pick as well. You know,
Marcus will never get
center. I don't know why a center is in consideration. It's not like they're stuffing stats with anything other than rebounds, blocked shots. I mean, unless they're counting contested, you know, changing shots, I guess, like, as a statistic, which they might be because analytics is like at the forefront, so they're probably doing a bunch of nonsensical stats. Like,
yeah.
I don't know, man. But
the reason why I like Giannis and not Gobert is because, and same thing with Simmons actually in this, over all these guys, and maybe Bam gets thrown in this category too, is like when you saw Gobert ISO'd on like the perimeter on a guy, like he wasn't a good defender. So, like, to me, if you're gonna be defense player of the year, especially perennially, like, you can't be one dimensional. Like, you can't just be like, oh, I'm a great interior guy. It's like, all right, we got you on a switch on the wing. Like, what are you going to do? Oh, you take 15 steps backwards and let them shoot the three, which he did a few times this past year, or he overcrowds and gets burned for a layup on a reverse layup with using the rim to protect up from the block. So it's like, I don't know. I'm not a huge Gobert believer, but he keeps fucking winning these awards. I'll go Giannis with Nooch here, okay, just because –
wise play.
I like the versatility, and I don't see Miles Turner, the team being good enough. Anthony Davis, I feel like he's kind of overrated defensively these days.
He's never playing.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, he's usually gonna play 52 games. Bam, whatever. Yeah,
you can't give it to a guy like that, but maybe he'll prove me wrong. Who knows?
Word. So we got MVPs.
MVPs.
Yeah, I'll. I guess I can go ahead and start with that. But his this will be 19th season.
Jeez. Oh boy, here we go.
LeBron James. I mean, people have been talking.
He's owed a few, yeah.
A little crazy, and he's had a couple years recently where he should have been the MVP and wasn't. So I think this is the year to show everybody that he's going to be the league MVP again. And that's why I mentioned I don't think he will, obviously, with the new strategy with the NBA. But, you know, I said he was in 82 games this year, you know, just with a lot of talk of MJ playing 82 with the Wizards back in his last year. You know, I think this is LeBron maybe taking that personal and, you know, staying in great shape this offseason. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. Don't really care. But I think he's going to be the MVP regardless this year.
It's within realms of possibility.
That's where I'm at this year, man. I'm just
– he hasn't played – he played a 55 year one in L.A. and then 67 year two, which was the shortened season. Or no, this past year was shortened. I guess they were both shortened, actually. 67 and then 45. But 82 in his last game – last season in Cleveland, so.
Yeah.
He plays the majority of the season. That's what we can tell by that right there. So, I think it's 82 this year, and they make a nice run in the Western Conference as well.
Yeah, I could see him averaging like a triple-double too, like laying back more 20 points a game or less, but getting 11 assists and like 9 boards.
I agree.
I think it's Kevin Durant's show now. Kevin Durant is the best player in the world. He's going to win the MVP this year.
Okay.
Especially no Kyrie.
If Kyrie's not there, he's going to need to do a little bit more. I mean, what was that, game 5 in the second round against Milwaukee? He had that like 49, 15, and 10 or whatever it was. I mean, in big games, the dude can just do whatever he wants. I mean, if they need him to do it, like he can do it at a moment's notice. So, I mean, I don't know. I think KD this year especially, he's out to prove like, hey, you know, last year, we were this close to making it to the Eastern Conference Finals. We fell a little bit short. And now whoever's in the building, we're going to get it done.
Mm-hmm. I like that pick. That's a good pick. Okay. Mike, how are you going to mix this up with your MVP pick? I feel like we went Lakers-Nets, so Mike's got to have something a little different.
I mean, it feels kind of chalk and recency bias. But I kind of want to just go Giannis because I feel like the team's going to be more relying on him this year.
I was surprised.
Like JoJo is a good pick here, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, no Simmons. Steph could come back. Lillard could have a big year with Nance there. And then, if they have a good season, he'll be up there. So he'll score.
You say Lillard with Nance? I thought you meant Lillard with Chauncey Billups at the house. Dang, Nance is going to help him.
Yeah, I just think Nance is going to be a good fit with that group. Like a lot of people have been talking about him as a sleeper best addition. Like, they just struggled with like big man health for years. Mm-hmm. Been McCollum and Lillard trying to figure it out. But I mean, this is a funny. Tatum's top. Was that 10?
I think, and that's who I thought you were going to go with. Is Jason Tatum?
Me too.
Kind of a dark horse,
which isn't a bad pick.
Not a bad pick at all, dude, because of how well he played in the playoffs and how much he's physically kind of, you know, helped his body over this offseason. I mean, like, he dunked on two Magic players in the first game, went through, like, beat the guy off the bounce, and then just went through the center. Yeah. You know, so I have to think, man, he's going to be a guy that kind of will be a dark horse. And it's, I don't know how they'll pick, but, you know, I think he's a guy that'll definitely be up there, and you know, if not this year, then next. So,
yeah, he's plus 2,500 at MGM Grand. So,
yeah,
dude, we've always known that he's a bucket pretty much from anywhere on the floor. But if he starts bullying people too, I mean, getting to the line more, I mean, Jesus, the sky's the limit for him, dude. He's 23 years old. I mean, he could average 30 this year easy.
Yeah, I think if he averages 30 for sure, like that's the thing that like scares me away from him is like you know, Giannis is going to average 30 in like eight. But there was a crazy stat that they put up before the last game that was like, something like if he has more than 8 free throw attempts, he averages like 35 a game. But in his career, when he's had 12 or more attempts, he's averaged 45 a game, which is just like, you know, insane. That's ridiculous. Like Pierce averaged like 10 a game for his entire career free throw wise. But he's had like a steady uptick. He was only 3 free throws a game his first couple of years and then 5 this past year. So, I mean, if you can get that up to like 8 or 10.
Yeah. He had the most 50 pieces in the league last year.
Yeah,
get a 60 piece,
and they were all like kind of later in the season too. Like
two in the play. Well, technically one was the play-in game. He dropped 50, which I think that should count as a playoff performance. But
right, it's in purgatory. It's a purgatory game now. Statistically,
steals a game from the Nets when they were still at full health. Well, perceivably full strength. Drops 50 and steals a game from them. Arguably the best team, you know, in the East, if not the NBA. So, I mean, he's a beast, man. I think sky's the limit.
What about a dark horse team and dark horse player, which I think actually, did we do we did let down teams, but not surprise teams, I don't think. Whatever. But dark horse team and candidate, I think Ja. Like, if Jaren Jackson's healthy this year, Ja could easily be 28 points, 10 assists. Like, that team.
Memphis was going to be my surprise team.
Yeah.
Same. But I don't think it's much of a surprise because what they made the play in, right? They were the 7 or the 8. I can't remember.
They're kind of like the previous Suns trajectory. Like,
didn't they host the play in game last year and they lost, or they just beat Golden State?
Yeah.
And then they got smoked by Phoenix, right?
Yeah. They feel like Phoenix felt like the year before they had their run last year. Like they're And if it's all about Jaren Jackson. He's been so off the court, unhealthy in the last few years. But if he's healthy, they're going to be way different.
Big fan of his.
Yeah. They're just not very deep either, too. It's like Desmond Bane's going to be heavily relied upon and stuff. You got anything else you want to hit on while you got the floor here, Don Finucci?
Not really, man. I mean, it's always fun coming on with you guys. I really appreciate it. I'm just jacked up for the season to start. I mean, it's always a really exciting time of year. I mean, the last two seasons have been, you know, definitely unorthodox to say the least. I'm just kind of excited for it to get back to somewhat of a normal schedule, and you know it's gonna feel like a true NBA season again, you know, and it's a beautiful thing. So, thanks for having me on, fellas.
No doubt. I feel like we owe you a BYRP coin or a share of BYRP for being the first recurring guest. It's like worth a fraction of a penny, but.
Yeah, man.
It's unlimited circulation, like an early Dogecoin or something. No use case for it, but
I'll send you my address. Right, send me the checks in the mail.
Nah, man.
The checks got a cash. Word to Ben Simmons.
Right.
Thanks. Thank you.
Hell yeah. Well, appreciate you coming on, of course, as always.
Yeah, man. Thank you, guys. Appreciate you.
Always, brother, man. Well, as always. Thanks to everybody, you know, tuning in to BYRP, and you know, all year round, we definitely always want to talk hoops. So now we're really excited the fact that you know, the NBA season is going to be here, college hoops will be here in the next 4 weeks, and then obviously too, you know, just a exciting finish to the WNBA playoffs. So make sure everybody's tuning in and staying up to date, you know, with us, and as well as you know, what's happening out there in the basketball stratosphere. So. Thanks, everybody, for coming on and joining us, man.
Hey, we're going to have T-shirts in the relative near future, right, maybe?
Definitely. Oh,
T-shirts.
Let me hold a T-shirt.
They will. T-shirts will be here this week at the very, very latest. Just have to make sure that we are able to get them with the as far as shipping goes. But either way, we're going to have those things this week and then look to make sure that we're, you know, check them out. They'll be available for purchase
you know, I don't know where we're going to post those, but definitely somewhere. It'll be on our social media, and you know, everybody who wants a shirt is definitely they'll be available. And Nooch, some there will definitely be a shirt on the way to you. So,
like, oh, I'll pay for it. I gotta support my boys, you know.
Heck yeah, shoot, I might even pay for our
broke. Own, you
know? I got you.
Absolutely, bro. And anybody
else broke year round podcast. No.
Hey, right.
That is also at BYRP365 on Twitter and Instagram. No, our alternative account.
Yeah. We're the alter ego.
Just want to keep growing it and, you know, putting out news and, you know, and having some of like a guest just like Nooch to come on and share what they know and also give their opinion, man. Like, we always love having you on because you follow the game, and honestly, you will never find a more diehard Celtics fan, maybe other than Mike, than
Yankees fan.
I'm a little screwed up. We all know that. But yeah, it's always fun coming on with you guys. Appreciate it. Hit my line whenever you want me back. I'll be around.
Oh yeah, that might be next week. You never know, man. So
hold on. Yeah, we're gonna keep trying to do Thursday guests, especially the season rolls.
Absolutely.
Nice.
We want to make sure to get as many guests from as many different teams as we can, you know, to get everybody's opinion, and also too to, you know, stay up like to current events with every team that's kind of happening that we don't always see in the
right
in the big time news. So it's always good, man.
Absolutely.
What you got going on? You got some biscuits cooking for the morning?
Tomorrow we got pancakes. Pretty nice. Easy day. Pancakes. So. Yep, and I won't be the only other person in the kitchen tomorrow, so that'll be good.
Nice.
Get some chicken teriyaki on the gamut. So, you know, I can't make that on my own, so I'll be helping.
But you got the wok and shit. You know, this is my air wok.
I need it. I need it.
Yeah.
I got me a nice apron though. So
true.
You know. Nice. I got to come correct when I walk through those doors.
There we go. Now I know what to send for Christmas. There may be a BYRP apron for you guys.
Need it.
Maybe sending something to you guys. So
a big tie-dye smiley face.
Already know, man.
Made by the sensor.
Absolutely.
No DMCAs for a bunch of bullshit that NASA took pictures of.
Advance nice. With your last names on them. So, yeah, this could be a that's big awesome. Time thing here. So,
sick. All right, y'all. I'll talk to y'all soon. All right. Take all it right. easy.
Have a good night, man.
Peace. See you.